friends, and thank you for joining us for another episode of Fort Worth Roots.
You can find the Fort Worth Roots podcast on all streaming services, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, and many others. You can also get the videos on YouTube. Go to YouTube and type in Fort Worth Roots. You can Google it now, folks. You can put Fort Worth Roots in your Google bar, and it will take you to all of our different things. We are on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and you just it's so easy to find. Just Fort Worth Roots. It's getting close, folks. March 30th, out at Pouring Glory, along with PG Southside Market. We got the live music festival kickoff. We're going to have Max Cusin, The Gray, on stage at Pouring Glory. And guess what? There's no cover charge. We've got one of these events coming up every single month, March through September. All bands that play inside this series are going to be on one stage at the end of this in September at Pouring Glory. It's going to be a lot of fun. I hope you guys can make it out to at least one of these. We will have more details about the live music festival in the show notes. You can also go to our social media accounts to get updates on what's going on with the live music festival. This is in an effort to support local business and provide additional stages for local musicians. The Fort Worth Roots Podcast has created the live music festival. And I keep telling people we might change that name, but we're going to do this year and every year to follow in order to highlight local businesses and make sure that our artists have more stages to play for us. Because if we don't support these guys, they'll disappear and we can't have that. It's a big part of the Fort Worth culture. And we even talk about that a little bit in the episode today. You can find our newest sponsor online at Eaton, E-A-T-O-N, datasolutions.com. Our newest sponsor's website, at the very front of it, it says, "We work to have relationships with vendor partners who specialize in different methods of vulnerability detection and management so that we can offer enterprise tools and solutions to small and medium-sized companies." Find it online, Eaton, E-A-T-O-N, datasolutions.com. That will be in the show notes. And every one of our sponsors does a sponsorship episode. It is not going to be one of our regular Monday episodes, but we do a special sponsorship episode. So we'll get Richard, the owner and CEO and founder of Eaton Data Solutions, on the Fort Worth Roots podcast, telling you everything that he does for our community right here in Fort Worth, Texas, for small and medium-sized businesses very soon. And a big thank you to Richard Eaton for supporting the Fort Worth Roots podcast and the live music festival. Stay tuned to the very end of the episode where we talk more about all of our wonderful sponsors and the live music festival and other events that we have coming up in the near future. Today we brought some folks on to talk about a new awesome 501c3 that's happening right here in Fort Worth, Texas as they build into some new projects. It's called Econautics, and you can find it online at econautics, that's Econautics. .org. It will be in the show notes. You don't have to write it down. That's enough talking out of me. Thank y'all for being here. Please give it up for John Wood, Katie Rudd, and Casey Smith, and let's start the show.
Because you get a
the Western thing is
yeah,
what's fun.
This? Yeah, it's just fun. Yeah. Doc Brown gets to fall in love, and you always kind of wanted him to, like, it's always about, like, him.
He definitely had an amazing arc.
Put those on, and let's talk about Back to the Future real quick.
This is a little weird at first.
It'll be just fine.
I trust you. You
should. I feel like we're in a helicopter now.
Yes.
Yes.
I get helicopter pilot or newscaster a lot with the headsets. And I only have three, so Casey gets the mic today.
All right, well,
so
that's great.
You got to be on
am
it.
Am I close enough to it?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I'm actually going to turn that down a couple because we got some feedback, but that's good. I like it.
Cool.
All right. So, John, you were saying that Back to the Future 3 is the best out of the series, the franchise?
It's rare that the third in a trilogy is the best.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it's a hot take, but I do like that one the most.
That's true, though. A lot of franchise, the third iteration of it is it's garbage.
Yeah,
it happens all the time.
It's the flop. It's the ending.
Yeah, like Resident Evil. After the third one, it just, I mean, after the second one, it just kind of fell to hell. There's a lot, lots of different examples. You got one, Katie?
The Matrix.
How about the fourth? Did y'all see the fourth one?
No, I mean, I don't, it wasn't my favorite. I was disappointed.
Yeah.
The first was always my favorite.
But did you see the fourth Matrix movie?
No, the third the killed one. It for me.
Oh, the fourth was awful, and they should be ashamed of themselves.
I don't think everyone saw it. I think it was done.
Okay, I got Katie on my left. John at my 3 o'clock, or that'd be my 9. Yeah? Yeah, that'd be my 9 o'clock. No, that'd be my 10 o'clock. John's at my 10, and then Casey Smith at my noon. You are my noon.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
All right, Katie, tell us your last name and what you do.
My last name is Rudd, and I am the Community Impact Manager at Tarrant Area Food Bank. So that looks like I actually kind of have a hybrid job that we're creating right now. Uh-huh. And so I am going to be helping merge and synthesize departments together.
Okay.
In our community nutrition department and our community impact department. So we're merging departments. So I'm going to be in charge of merging nutrition education, medical nutrition education, and gardening and agriculture education, and productive assets within all of those in our 13 counties that we service.
Now, why are they merging them together? Is that part of, like, just economics? I mean, are they trying to save some money for the departments?
So this is going to get complex, but we have actually two satellite food banks. So Tarrant Area Food Bank services the 13 counties of the Southwest DFW area. And it was really hard to have that all centralized in Fort Worth. So I work at the main location, but we've got a West location and we've got a Denton location. And so the woman that managed the community impact, which is mostly helping people in English and Spanish sign up for SNAP benefits, so food stamp benefits, uh-huh, essentially, they're moving her to Denton so that they can start that up in another county. So they need someone to fill her shoes, but they also need someone to help with the synthesis of all the departments.
Sounds like you're just streamlining and making everything just a little more cohesive.
Yeah.
Excellent. John, can you tell me your last name, brother?
Wood.
John Wood. Okay. And just give us a brief overview of John Wood.
I'm an attorney.
Oh, crap.
Don't hold that against me.
Okay.
I like to do consumer protection work.
Okay. Consumer protection work. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of elaborate on that for those of us that don't know what that means?
Well, within the law, the consumers of insurance policies specifically, my law firm represents policyholders making claims against their insurance companies.
Oh, okay,
so if their
cool.
carrier doesn't pay the claim, they break the law, we go sue them for it and get our clients money.
Nice. So you're protecting the people against the big, scary...
The ones advertising during the big Super Bowl.
No names, no names. It's okay. Are you a fan of Fight Club?
It's a good film.
There's the scene in there where Edward Norton is talking to somebody on the airplane, and she says, "What insurance company do you work for?" And he goes, "One of the big ones." Like, he didn't want to drop the name, but he's like, "You know them, I promise." You know. And then we got Casey Smith.
Yep.
Who doesn't need an introduction because he's been on the show 3 times?
I believe
2 or 3 times.
I believe this is my 3rd.
Okay. Right on. Casey Smith, the former owner of McFly's Pub.
It's not official.
So you still have time to change your mind.
Yes. So I'll come.
Microphone.
Yeah.
I've been waiting to pull that card. I knew it was going to happen.
I've formally made a decision, but it has not happened yet. But I believe it will be happening. So
post haste.
Yeah. So I'm gonna do a good transition. Nothing's going to change. Staff's going to stay the same. I'm going to focus on, and I didn't even touch on this yet, but another project that I'd like to put time on.
Yeah, we're going to round into that here in a minute.
Yeah, we'll let Kitty or John take care of that because they know more than I do. I'm just here to help.
Yeah.
And hopefully help with the construction as well. And also, my construction company has been kind of hurting because I've been working up here so much. So it's great because somebody else wants to run it.
Yeah.
And it gets to stay the same.
Yeah. And what an incredible location. I've talked to you about this several times. We've had people come in from all over the world to visit this place.
I think I've had been written up in 52 countries.
Yeah, I believe it. We had the most incredible one to me is the Johnny Five replica dude out of Nottingham, England.
First time.
Which was so cool to me.
Yeah, first time in America they came here.
Yeah. Where are you going to go? Oh, I'm going to Fort Worth. There's a place called McFly's Pub.
Yeah.
It's the only thing I want to see.
Yeah, it's kind of like... the warehouse where it took a little bit of time, but connections started forming. And so even the people that are taking over now is a connection that formed that's good for them. Uh-huh. So and so lots of people in this neighborhood didn't know how to communicate with each other. I mean, whoever's listening, this particular spot is kind of desolate as far as community connections.
Yeah.
And so this spot did a lot for that.
This hidden corner of River Oaks / Fort Worth.
Yeah. And so it's been fun over the last few years watching everybody make friends, make relationships.
Meet their neighbors.
Yeah, meet their neighbors.
Yeah.
You know, walk their dog, whatever.
Well, nothing is lost here. Like you said, it's going to go on. It's going to continue to be McFly's Pub. But this isn't necessarily like the close of a chapter even, because you created something that's unique, special, and everybody that comes here is just blown away with what you did to the place. And for somebody like me, an old school guy that, you know, I used to work out here on the base, I remember what this place looked like before you got your hands on it. It was crazy.
It was gross.
It was crazy. And now it's so beautiful that people from Nottingham, England are crossing the ocean to come see it.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So you accomplished something is what I'm trying to say.
And it sounds kind of weird. It's like I'm not giving it away because I feel proud of what I built. And nobody can take that away. You know, somebody can change it maybe, but it's still here and I did it and I opened the day COVID hit and I stuck through.
So for those of you that haven't listened to the first episode we did with Casey, McFly's Pub opened the day that they started shutting down restaurants and bars because of the COVID restrictions. So
I feel proud.
You should.
And this is frustrating for a lot of people, but a lot of bars are closing right now.
A lot of bars and venues, yeah.
Yes. Like and there's reasons for it, and I don't want to like say anything that I can't prove exactly, but when I'm in a position to sell a bar when all my like multiple of my friends have had to close down because they couldn't do it, I feel very proud. So I'm very happy about changing ownership because it's like literally like just like handing the wand to somebody else that wants to do it.
Like, yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Take care of your baby for you.
Yeah.
While you go like, tackle other projects. I mean,
I'm sure they're going to change some things, but for the most part, like it's still going to be McFly's.
Yeah.
They might build a bigger stage or add more music to it, but it's still McFly's. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to that. And, you know, we've been rooting for McFly's Pub for a while now. You know, you became part of the Fort Worth Roots family, and you've been supporting the show, and we've been trying to get more folks in the doors for you, and we hope that we get to continue to do that with Dan, and we want to sit down and
give
him some time on the recording as well so that we can keep this going, because we love this place that you built.
I'm sure you'll have no problem continually on almost the same.
So
I'll still be hanging out with you.
Yeah, you better. Yeah. I got your number on both my phones.
Yeah.
All right, so let's roll into this new project that we're actually supposed to be focusing on today.
Well, that's going to be, they are better at explaining everything.
Let's,
who wants to take it? Katie, John?
Let's get John's outlook on this.
Sure. No, I'm just happy that you're available to help us because we're going to be doing a lot of building and we're going to be activating a lot of leadership locally.
You're talking construction.
Moving dirt, building new structures, using architecture to address community needs, using landscape to address community needs. Those are some of the ideas that we have for Econautics.
Okay. And I have kind of a broad understanding of what you guys are getting into, but for our listeners, can we kind of start from the beginning?
Sure. So Econautics, it's a portmanteau. It's when you combine words together to create a new one.
Okay.
Right? So economic, environmental, social factors are all define the sustainability challenges of our generation. And I created this 501c3 after going to law school, after working for other environmental nonprofits, and after writing a book on how to solve these problems. And I realized this is what we need, sort of a gap-filling thing, to activate the power of the private sector to address these interconnected social, economic, and environmental challenges.
Can you give me kind of an example?
For example, food insecurity in food deserts, especially with young people. They don't have safe places to play. They don't have green space. They don't have wholesome food, nutritious food. They're almost entirely dependent on food served in our cafeterias, which none of us would prefer to eat, and nutritionally is probably lacking. And in a place like Texas, this is my hometown. I love this area. Love being from here. And it's getting really hot in the summers, and there's nowhere for the kids to go. They're inside playing video games or whatever they're doing. I don't know. I mean, but
you don't see them outside, do you?
No, and the parks are completely vacant. Like, there's you can't swing on those monkey bars. They're 115 degrees.
Burn through your hand like lava.
And we're millennials, so we actually were straddling the pre-digital age. Like, it felt like we got to go outside when we were kids. And now I'm looking at my neighborhood in the summer. I'm like, they have nowhere to go. So we want to build green space that can also feed them. So that's what we're focused on now.
Yeah. I've still got scars on my legs from the metal slides that we had whenever we were kids, you know, because they were 1,000 degrees and that's how you had fun.
Terrible. It's a really fascinating design choice.
So here in Fort Worth, you're going to be building things in order to make more sustainable food available?
That's one of the byproducts. Okay. When you start solving one problem, you end up creating solutions for all these other issues.
Okay.
And
so what's step one? What do you do right out the gate?
Site control.
Okay.
So important thing is to establish control over actual dirt where we can build things, we can have guests, we can have public come in, we can do events, we can grow food.
Okay.
So we're doing that, and that involves capital. And we have got some of our founders and co-founders and really, you know, friends of the nonprofit are putting their property on, you know, for us to use and build on. We've got a constellation of land in the Metroplex, you know, close to the urban center where we can actually create food and create educational corridors and begin to prove that these models work. And in a way, it's going to be like a living laboratory for people to see it, and hopefully those ideas will spread. And because
I'm trying to get a picture of what you're describing to me. So you have a site. You're going to build on it. You're going to invite people out there. They're going to have access to the outdoors. They're going to be able to play and hang out outside. And then you're going to incorporate
food production. Yes, using modern urban agricultural methods.
Okay.
Also create jobs for people.
Okay.
Give people, because it's going to be a lot of people that are going to have to run it. And so it's good for... you can edit this out. But people that might have had a bad past that need a job to get some work.
So as far as employment, you'll be...
Like it could be
we'll be hiring locally.
Targeting local people that maybe have trouble with job placement otherwise.
Definitely want to create opportunities. Okay.
I didn't mean to speak out of turn, but I was
it's a podcast. We're in the tree of trust.
Yeah. That was something that she mentioned. Was just like not necessarily, like felonies or something like that. But it's like people that need a job and don't have everything to get totally together, but they want to work,
or maybe don't have equal access to educational opportunities that other folks might. And so do you mind if I jump in just for a second?
Please do.
So when John was talking about why this project is important, there is a drastic need, especially in this area. We have covered a lot of it with concrete. We have really damaged soil. We have a difficult water situation. We have a difficult situation in terms of access to healthy food, especially in certain neighborhoods. Some neighborhoods only have access through convenience stores and gas stations, and maybe they don't have a vehicle, and it takes a while for them to take a bus to get food or healthy food. Maybe there's a educational access to knowing how to use it or cook it, or why it's important. And where this becomes a serious impact is in terms of medical health. So we're seeing a lot of hypertension, a lot of diabetes, a lot of surgeries that are having to be performed because of lifestyle management and barriers to being able to have everyone, regardless of income, have access to the same amount of the same foods that would keep us healthy and the same sort of physical activity and community formation, like isolation, depression, all of those things stack up to create a space where you could have a lack of health on multiple levels, physical, emotional, spiritual, community, your literal physical food, transportation. So Econautics right now has primarily been an education-driven and information-driven platform. And we're seeking to create the first physical site where we have a demonstrable model of what's possible. And the goal is not for that to be the only site. This would just be the first site. The goal is that we could take all of this and make it scalable and replicable in other cities or even other parts of the city and work collaboratively with existing nonprofits, including where I work at Terranera Food Bank, including a lot of people that are already doing this good work, but kind of pulling that constellation together to have more of a coalition around using our strengths and working together and pooling our resources.
So you guys have already made connections with other organizations in order to kind of make this all come to fruition?
Yeah, our new CEO, Talia, has made it a priority to reach out, and it's important to do that. You know, there's limited philanthropy dollars, so we want to make sure that we're not stepping on anyone's toes, that we're harnessing strategic synergies wherever we can. So we're definitely doing that and trying to bring technical, legal, financial, agricultural expertise and resources to bear on a local problem. And solve it with, if you could, you could say community supported agriculture in general, but in a really progressive way, and in a way creating a decentralized food production, a solution for decentralized food production that could be scaled and exported to other locations.
Excellent.
Well, and what Casey was talking about was it will end on a little bit was vocational training programs, which we. We're still in the experimental stage, obviously, but it's something that the food bank has even been wanting to employ and haven't had enough resources or staff to be able to, is urban agricultural vocational programs for specifically youth and veterans. And so like high school youth, and then we work specifically with the veteran population, and there is a lot of need to just, you know, their jobs are tough right now for a lot of people. And so getting some training skills, and also John is like consummate at business. Casey's really good at business. I haven't told either of them this idea before, but I was thinking about doing, what if we did like an entrepreneurship 101 that was just like a series of how to teach youth how to start their own business and successfully do it sustainably. How do we teach people that are maybe in transition or have lost their jobs? How do we teach them how to do that? And have a support system and a community around being able to build their own business and sustain themselves, even if it's part-time.
And that's the beautiful thing about having site control as a nonprofit, is that you can do whatever program you feel like is necessary to address the needs of your community. And it's your property, so you can do it there. And that's our goal, to have that autonomy. And then to be able to light as many candles as you can. And education is really powerful like that. And, you know, growing food, also teaching people how to grow food. You know, growing this sustainable enterprise where the site is also paying for itself and also teaching people how to create their own. And that way we could have a big impact on the economy, a positive impact in where the economic activity needs to go.
This seems like such a no-brainer. Like this is the kind of stuff that we should have learned in grade school, right? I mean, really.
Exactly.
This should have been incorporated in grades one through high school.
You might have learned it. How old are you?
Damn it, Casey. I'm 38 years old.
Okay, you might have learned it. It's just not taught anymore.
Well, a lot of schools have done away with home economics.
We had a home economics class in high school.
It's not there anymore.
Right.
Just like it's
like basic life skills everyone should know how to do.
Well, like balancing a checkbook. Class. I didn't know how to balance a checkbook when I was. I mean, nobody does that now.
In third grade,
or pay your taxes, or like so many cook a meal, take care of a child.
But we all know that the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell.
That's true, and John's I could have told you that.
Or how your kidney functions.
I got a checkbook when I was in third grade.
Did you?
Yeah. Well, you're weird.
What the hell were you writing checks for in third grade? That makes you what, 10?
Maybe a little less.
9?
Well, you're making a good point. Why isn't this being done?
The school gave me a checkbook.
It should be.
Why is it having to be done through after-school programs and weekend programs?
It takes the private sector to figure out where the system that we all depend on is missing. Like, where are the gaps there? What's the state doing? What's the federal government doing? Like, okay, that should be a minimum standard for consumer protection, the guarantees of our being a citizen, and then anything extra, well, the private sector's got to figure that out. Mm-hmm. And it's got to be either philanthropy or a for-profit business or some hybrid. And there's a lot of different models now where you can bridge those gaps. And because a business probably always going to be more efficient at solving a problem than the government.
No.
Right? And so if you can use, and now capitalism can also drive a lot of, you know, evil stuff. And so can we use the instruments of the marketplace and the incentive structures and the beautiful efficiency that leads to innovation that we know is true and use that to do the things that usually the government would do, like solving these hard problems?
Yeah.
Why not try? And I think the answer is yes, we can. In fact, you can get paid to do the right thing. You can make money by solving these problems that usually the government would address.
Yeah. And I've noticed that too. I think that it's okay to form a business idea around helping your community. It doesn't necessarily have to be a 501c3. Not that there's anything wrong with those, but you can also profit. You can make your day job where you can pay for your family's needs and still help the community. I've worked for a lot of companies that don't really follow that business model. But, you know, to your point, the government is kind of phasing itself out because it sucks at everything. I mean, look at space travel. We scrubbed the shuttle program allegedly so that we could save some money in that budget and then build a better, more robust space program. I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but while we were waiting on that, here comes SpaceX. And now they are shuttling everything up to the International Space Station. And that's private sector taking over a key, critical government role. And maybe what you're talking about is something that could take over another aspect of the,
look at the
federal government.
Look at what the government's doing around food production. You know, we have food safety, and we've got, you know, markets for large-scale food production. But I think in general it would be healthier if we had more decentralized food production. Yeah. Going down from the federal to the state, from the state to the city, from the city to the family unit, to the neighborhood and the family units, and people growing their own food at the smallest scale would be healthier. And I think you could also address large-scale waste management problems, for example, just by giving everyone a chicken to feed their scraps to. And now, you know, small, if everybody takes one step, it's millions of miles, right? If we all did it together, it'd be billions of steps all happening at the same time. So incremental changes that are scaled are really powerful. And so food production ought to be decentralized. I mean, you get monocropping, which is vulnerable. It's not resilient.
Can you explain monocropping?
Or are we just growing the same crop on millions of acres?
A whole field of wheat. A whole field of corn.
So now you got to pump it full of chemicals just so you can do more wheat the next season.
Right. Instead of companion planting, for example, where you plant tomato and basil together. One, you eat them together. But they also ward off pests for the other one, and they improve the soil quality for the other one.
We're just finding out about this. So we purchased an acre just recently in Springtown so that we could do our own gardening, start making our own food. Because I don't want to alarm anybody, but if the trucks stop coming to the supermarket, you got about 48 hours until people are beating each other up in the streets. The food not being grown here is an issue. So it's kind of excellent timing that we're having this conversation. But yeah, we want chickens, and we were talking 2 days ago about how we're not going to throw anything in the trash anymore because we're going to feed it to our damn chickens. They'll eat anything. There's a couple of little things you can't feed them, but for the most part, you can give them all your table scraps.
Well, and so they're smart. They know not what to not eat.
Right, right.
They'll just pick around it. Yeah. Or you can compost it.
Mm-hmm. And then they provide a protein
soil.
Source.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They improve the soil, right? Mm-hmm. It's part of a homestead.
Through the eggs.
Mm-hmm. Well,
through the eggs. I'm never going to eat Henrietta.
You don't need to.
Okay.
You don't.
I just want the eggs, Henrietta.
Yeah.
That's her name. I decided just now.
I love that. But you can use the eggshells, and you can even use the eggshells as a fertilizer.
Yeah, all of it. Just mm-hmm. make your own little thing, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah.
So that's awesome that this is happening on such a large scale. It sounds like you have a lot of hurdles ahead of you, but you're already making the right moves, connecting with local agencies that are going to help you get to your goal. So what's the next step? What's happening next?
One of the things we'd love to do is to get site control over something like an historic golf course that is no longer used as a golf
course.
Why
historic?
Because it is the game of golf has changed, and so the courses that were playable and fun in the 70s are currently unplayable to the modern golfer.
Turn it into pickleball.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have... over 100 acres of green space that can be converted into a number of different social uses. And I think hiking, biking trails, food, bass fishing, you have fishing ponds, you've got all this water and irrigation. And instead, if we don't do something cool and pro-social with that green space and preserve green space, guess what it's going to be turned into? It will be turned into housing.
Oh, 100%.
And so anybody that lives on a golf course, if it's no longer playable as a golf course, if you don't do something pro-social, it keeps it a green space, it will be turned into apartment complexes perhaps. And we probably need the green space for rainwater harvesting, for food production, for outdoor activities, for the youth, for the neighborhood's health, for that community's resilience.
Yeah. Well, and vagrants, hippies out there worshiping the moon.
How dare them?
Got to do something with that space. I'm aware of two major golf courses in the area that have nothing going on right now. And I don't know who's paying to have them mowed, but like they have to maintain them.
Right.
So it looks like a freaking, not like a well-manicured golf course, but I mean, you can tell it's a golf course. And it's just sitting there.
Well, there's been a lot of foreign investors buying up golf courses, which... dismays me, because you oftentimes you're getting water rights with that. You're getting precious natural resources, and so it should be, I think, owned locally and turned to address local needs.
Yeah.
And if it's not, then you know it's up to the market to decide what to do with that real estate, and it's not going to be pretty.
Right. Yeah. Nobody's going to go out there and plant a garden
unless we do.
Unless you step right. in and do it for them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, and one thing, and this is maybe like the science nerdy part, but it would be really wonderful to work with universities to not only teach, like amplify the educational process, but to do a sincere study of what it looks like to remediate the soil or repair the soil from the chemicals used on golf courses. Mm-hmm. And turn that into viable soil to grow plants.
Yeah.
And so that would probably be a multi-year study that mm-hmm. would be undertaken.
Well, these all these universities have agricultural mm-hmm. departments and yeah. sustainability, eco...
and radio, TV, film, and like all... Yeah, and so just to be an example of showing people that even this heavily chemicalized land can be used to produce food... and
do you
also
think if you just dumped enough water on it, eventually the chemicals would work its way down far enough into the soil that you wouldn't have to worry about it?
Yeah, I think regulation speaking, it's 7 years.
Oh, my God.
In terms of, like, legal.
And that's just legal, right?
That's just legal. And that's not even reality.
God knows OSHA doesn't
what we've decided.
Care
one
about.
One of the interesting things about
tours.
Golf course yeah, redesign right. is one of the things that they'll do is lower the fairways. So they're actually digging down the first several feet of topsoil and then pushing that off to the sides. And so you create this visual buffer, and also it would be scraping away a lot of the contaminated topsoil.
Okay.
And then you've also add raised beds where you're bringing in your own soil, and we'd also be creating soil using composting and other means. So the content, and then you've got grazing possibilities. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a fun use of land.
We're talking goats here.
Yes.
Ruminants. Yeah,
love goats. What'd you call it?
ruminants.
Is that a goat?
Animals that ruminate their cows.
Sorry, I don't know some of these words.
It means they digest them multiple times.
Gross.
But it makes really, really good poop.
Multiple stomachs.
Well, we're finding that, you know, certain types of grazing patterns are the best possible way to maintain pasture land and to get that deep roots and to, you're also creating wildlife habitat by preserving this green space too. Yeah. And we need that as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, and another thing we talked about doing was doing a living, almost like walking museum outdoors that's educational. Yeah. Families, so like having places for people to gather and play for sure, but then having like this is native prairie land and there's very little prairie actually left on this prairie. We've covered most of it with other things, and so having a zone that's like a restoration project where you can walk around and learn not just with signs but with interactive things that kids can get excited about, and pollinator gardens. We've had a huge problem with aerial spraying in the area over the past years where pollinators are dying out just because we're spraying for mosquitoes, but that's not...
It's not the only thing it kills.
No, it kills bees, it kills butterflies, it kills wasps,
well,
it kills
bats. That's a huge issue. I've heard people talking about that nonstop for the past decade. They don't know what's causing these colony collapses. Is that what they call it?
Yep.
It just happens overnight, and they're like, whoa,
we're seeing massive biodiversity losses. And another example and evidence of that's happening is when you drive down the freeway and you're just not getting the bugs on your windshield anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've noticed that. And
you drive a motorcycle, so you probably noticed it.
More than most, yes.
Yeah, if you're like, where they're all at.
So you notice it around the city. Like, you can drive from downtown Fort Worth to downtown Dallas and never catch a bug, right? You can, but it's just a very dense city. So you've just got this meat grinder of bug killers up and down every road circulating around DFW. And so, it kills all the bugs, I feel like. Because once you get out of town, say 30 minutes north, south, east, or west, off of an interstate, you start getting just destroyed by bugs whenever you're on a motorcycle.
Well, they live there.
Just passing through. I know. Yeah, sometimes they pass through me. I ate a grasshopper at 60 one time. Hit my teeth, and by the time it got to my throat, it was liquid. It was an 8-pound grasshopper, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Well, look, there's one way to solve the food security issue is to do things like eating insects. And I think we're
at 60 miles an hour.
I mean, at scale. And I don't like those answers. I don't like those kind of engineered. It's like societal engineering. It's weird. I like the smaller answer, which is self-reliance. It's growing whole food, having real animal protein, and that's doable. We want to prove that it can be done. We want to provide the technical resources and it, like a living lab to show what's working and what's not, because otherwise we're going to end up with big engineered government solutions like we're going to be fed insects to meet our protein needs.
Yeah.
And so we,
which is a thing they're talking about.
Right. And so if you don't like that as an outcome, well, then support what we're doing and things like this to make it more likely and easier for a young person who's hungry to go find food. Because if you go to a food bank and they're doing a really important work, but you can't feed a kid with a truckload of cabbage, you need to actually have a meal for them.
Yeah.
And if you can grow your own food and you can eat fresh food, well, that's an even better answer. And so we want to promote that and make it more likely that young people in our neighborhood where we grew up have access to green space, things to do when it's really hot out, and food to eat when school's not in session, if they're not otherwise being fed. And so it takes site control and then building all kinds of wonderful programs on top of that site control. And so that's where we're at right now. It's what Econautics is doing right now with the things of Casey and Katie and Talia and Richard and a bunch of other people that have stood up to help us and activating local philanthropy and filling an important gap.
This is awesome. Well, we're definitely going to be following you every step of the way. It's such a huge idea. There's lots of different subtopics here, but whenever you guys are tackling one singular project and you want to talk about that thing, or especially if you need to promote something, if you want to get a crowd out there, maybe we can help you do that. But I'm excited to hear more, and I think what you guys are doing is not only important, it's necessary. So I got one question. This something you said earlier. This is for our co-host, Megan. We've been not arguing, Casey.
Debating.
Raised bed or just straight planting in the ground if you don't know what's in the soil?
Oh, I mean, you can't feed children food if you can't guarantee it's wholesome and healthy.
Boom.
So you've got to control soil. Now, you could perfect the soil, and there's like no-till, and there's all kinds of ways to build topsoil and to do things that are directly in the ground.
Yeah.
I'm not denigrating dirt. But you can also grow with air now.
What?
Hydroponic, aquaponic, aeroponic. These are all growing methods. And that's one of the things we want to prove, too. Not just turning the grass into food, but putting geodesic domes and other beautiful glass-like structures.
Did you see The Martian?
Yes.
Okay, Tony Burgess.
Do you think you could have grown the potatoes?
I don't know enough science.
What's the guy's name?
Can I also add to that?
Yes.
That I also do. I am kind of a diehard I love dirt girl.
What?
And
what does that mean?
Like, I love the soil. I love figuring it out. We have a special soil profile here in North Texas where it is very difficult because it's clay and it can get really hard packed. And
clay and sand, right?
Clay and a little bit of sand, but a lot of clay.
Yeah.
And the nice thing about clay is it is the most nutrient dense form of soil. You just have to figure out how to unlock it. So there's something that happens around each molecule in the soil called chelation, that it's basically like you've got a hard shell around all the nutrients in that soil. Once you figure out how to dissolve it, which is organic matter, like compost, like you saying, feeding it to the chickens, or yeah, adding chicken poop, or adding leaves, or adding all of that, adding compost that you buy, and breaking it up, you can enrich that soil.
Would nitrogen be a good example of that?
Nitrogen's a great example, and that's what plants heavily feed off of. But if you can create your own healthy soil. So I would suggest a hybrid model of doing some in ground and some in raised beds.
I'm just worried that the people that own the property before me dumped antifreeze in the backyard.
That would be terrible.
Well, I don't know them, so
you know, you can plant things called cover crops to help heal the soil.
Okay.
So they're crops, and you can look it up, but there's a myriad form of crops that you just grow them and let them go, and you can chop them down and drop them, or you can, if you want to remediate, you can just remove them.
Uh-huh.
And they suck up the toxins from the soil.
What's an example?
There's rye, clover.
Like rye grass?
Peas, yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sunflowers, but then you might have a sunflower field, so you want to be careful. But they remove heavy metals, sunflowers do, really? And they're beautiful. So you could do like a season of sunflowers and cut them all and just remove them and pull the stems out of the ground.
Very cool.
And then go back the next year. And the thing about this is it takes patience and it takes persistence.
Which is probably going to be the hardest part of educating the public, because none of us have patience anymore.
Which is why the hybrid model of having some raised beds where you have full control of the soil and then also have some soil you're repairing, and that gives you the ability to experiment with both, which it's a constant experiment with growing food.
Eat here, play there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. And grow like in, like that's your labor of love. It's going to be a lot easier doing the raised bed route, but it's also worth remediating the soil, because the nutrients that are in our native soil in Texas are really beautiful.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I wonder if there's a way to test the soil. Could you send it to
Yes. That somebody? Should be your first step.
Check that stuff out.
I forget
the
what
Ag
it's
extension
called.
Programs, yeah. We'll send you a little test kit. You just put some dirt in the pouch and ship it to their lab, and they'll tell you what's in it.
Okay. I'll have to look into that for sure.
Yeah, Katie's right, though. Soil's super important. Like, humanity and most life on Earth depends on this 2-inch or so layer of topsoil. Yeah. Yeah, like that's just being eroded and degraded and contaminated.
Covered up.
So, yeah, I mean, whatever we can be doing to build soil back is helpful. Whatever we can do to decentralize food production is helpful. And these things can and should be scaled.
Is there a website where people can find your organization?
www.econautics.org.
Okay. That will be in the show notes, folks. You didn't have to write it down. Got to tell you guys, this has been illuminating for me. Me and Katie and Casey have talked about this a little bit in passing, but now that I've gotten the full story here, this is really exciting stuff that y'all are doing. So if you would, just kind of put Fort Worth Roots in the back of your mind, and next time y'all have a new stage of the project, please let us know, and we'd love to have you on to talk about it.
Absolutely.
Since it's happening right here in Fort Worth, Texas.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Got to get the musicians involved. We'll bring them out. We'll do a benefit.
I can help with that.
Absolutely.
I got you on that.
Yeah.
We have a live music series that launches March 30th out at Pouring Glory, and then a leg of it is here at McFly's as well.
We should do a big groundbreaking party.
Yeah.
Artists are the vanguard of culture. They're important.
Yeah.
They're really important to, you know, channeling the best of humanity.
I got about 80 on speed dial, so you just let me know.
Well, Andrew, thank you so much for
absolutely
allowing us to be a part of this and the transition to McFly's and something that Casey, I'm just going to speak for him, and you can edit this out.
I'm not going to do it, so but, be careful with your words.
No, Casey is one of the most innovative, creative, forward-thinking people that I know. And he's an amazing builder and a great visionary. And he's, I think, going to be really helpful. He's been serving as an advisor on the board for us forming this. And construction and design are so important with all of these systems, because the function of systems sustainably is only as good as the design.
Yeah.
And he has so many relationships with people in this area and with the city, and knowing what permits to pull, knowing how we can pull off trying to do these acrobatic moves with using spaces like golf courses. And so he's been invaluable. And so it's really, it's definitely McFly's has been his labor of love for a bit. It's really fun that this might be something he's willing to invest his time in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
We love you, Casey.
Yeah.
Well said.
You're amazing.
The next adventure is going to be fun.
Yeah. So this is going to be great. And thank you guys.
Yeah, thank you.
And I'll give you guys some more information. Make sure you got my contact stuff. And then we'll keep you the listeners will be looking forward to the next steps. So we'll keep you guys on the up and up, so you know exactly what's going on.
Thanks a lot.
All right, hold on. I'm trying to find the freaking button. There we go. All right, until next time, thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next week. All right, all right, all right. John Wood, Katie Rudd, Casey Smith, my friends, thank y'all so much for being on the Fort Worth Roots podcast. You can check all that out at Econautics, econautics.org, this local 501c3. They're very passionate about what they're doing. I'm sure you heard that in the episode. We're looking forward to see what they produce here in the future, and hopefully they'll give us a call back and we can report back to you on what's developing. Very good stuff. Casey Smith, thank you for what you've done with McFly's Pub. It's a wonderful establishment, and we're looking forward to spending many, 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 many more years enjoying what you've created out there at McFly's Pub. So thank you, Casey Smith. All right, what do we got? We got the live music festival, March 30th, out at Pouring Glory, The Gray, performing live for you. No cover charge, guys, it's free. Again, let me read this off for you. the point of the live music festival. In an effort to support local business and provide additional stages for local musicians, the Fort Worth Roots Podcast has created the live music festival. We want to know if you can make it out. There's no cover charge, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We need your support in order to highlight these small businesses. Let me read off the businesses that we're going to be highlighting during this music festival. This is where it's going to be taking place. Pouring Glory, March 30th. We'll be at Camp Carter, April 27th, as for part of the River Oaks Spring Fest Car Show. So that's going to have a lot of businesses out there. 80 to 90 different vendors from local businesses around our community. Some 501c3s out there. Augie's Sunset Cafe and Marina. That's on the lake. That's on Eagle Mountain. It's a beautiful location. Really looking forward to that. Going to have the Jaybirds out there for that one. Panther Island Brewing. It's a great little location just north of downtown Fort Worth. Jaybirds are going to be out there. Late to the Station playing at Panther Island Brewing. I just messed that up. Okay, we're going to pretend like that didn't happen, okay? Late to the Station at Panther Island Brewing, just north of downtown. Type it into your Googles. It will take you straight there. The Cicada. If you haven't been out to the Cicada yet, it's in the same location as Old Main at Southside. It's a lot of fun. We love what they've done with the place. The Spectacle is going to be playing out there August 11th. And then all bands are playing on stage at Pouring Glory September 28th. I know I messed that up. The Traumatics are going to be at McFly's. That's May 25th. Itchy Richie and the Burning Sensations at Camp Carter April 27th. I just screwed that all up. But anyway, check it out. On our social media pages, we're going to have the live music festival information updates. Just as they come down the pipe, we'll make sure you know about them. And again, here on the show, Fort Worth Roots Podcast, we'll make sure you got all that. And then, yeah, September 28th, the big event. We do this every single year, and this entire thing is just an extension of that. You know, we put on one big show every year. We decided, you know what, let's do it every month from March through September. So we're going to do it. Businesses are struggling out there. All of our local folks getting bought out by these big chain restaurants and California companies and Dallas outfits. And anyway, it sucks. We don't like it. So we're doing something about it. There's people, it's not just me. There's other people out there that are trying to do something to make sure that we get to keep Fort Worth the way we love it. And the only way to do that is to kind of stand up and do something about it. So this is my version of that. Live music festival. We're just asking that you come out. And I know that there's, you know, a bunch of dates here. You don't have to make it to all of them. If you could, that'd be cool. I'd really like that. But surely there's one on there that you can make it out to. So all that information will be in the show notes, but it's also on our social media pages if you forget about the live music festival. All right, let's talk about these sponsors. Of course, we got Eaton Data Solutions pulling that up right now. Full service managed IT. We work to have relationships with vendor partners who specialize in different methods of vulnerability detection and management so that we can offer enterprise tools and solutions to small and medium-sized companies. All that information will be in the show notes so that you can find Eaton Data Solutions easily. You can go directly there, eatondatasolutions.com, and we are going to get this gentleman, Mr. Richard Eaton, on the show soon to tell us all about his company and why he does what he does. He was telling me some of the horror stories of small and medium-sized businesses that can't afford the big service packages that come from these IT departments that protect your data. And as a result, they lost everything. So that's where Eaton Data Services come in. They provide you with the same services that these Fortune 500 companies are capable of purchasing, but he does it as a local level at an affordable rate for small and medium-sized businesses. It's excellent. We're very proud to be partnered with Eaton Data Solutions. All right, moving on. Pouring Glory, 1001 Bryan Avenue, Fort Worth, Texas. It will be the location for our March 30th event. It's just off South Main Street and I-35 one block north of Rosedale. I love their food. Usually, whenever I put these episodes out, I tell you, I'm going to head over there and have a burger. I ain't got time for it today. We're busy. We got all sorts of crazy stuff going on. By the way, this week and next week, we are giving away 5 minutes of recorded time to local businesses here in Fort Worth. If you are a small business owner here in Fort Worth, Texas, we have a schedule and it is filling up quick. I'm actually surprised at how effective this has been at gaining some attention. We've got quite a few businesses that are already signed up for this. We're going to come in with our recorder. We're going to let you tell us a little bit about your business, about 5 minutes. And then we're going to release that as a little social media video and also include it as an episode on the Fort Worth Roots podcast. All to highlight the live music festival and talk about small businesses in our area. So if you have a local Fort Worth business and you're interested in 5 minutes of airtime on the Fort Worth Roots podcast, holler at us. media@fortworthroots.com is our email, and we'd be happy to get you signed up. We've got a lot of dates, a lot of times here over the next couple of weeks, but get to me before everybody else fills these up. I think we have 42 spots left. All right. Pouring Glory. Growler refilling station. Wonderful food and dog park. Go check that out. McFly's Pub, you hear us talking about them all the time. Go check it out. What are you waiting for? We got people flying in from Nottingham, England to come check out McFly's Pub, a 1980s Back to the Future themed bar with a very impressive outdoor area. Check this thing out. It's 6104 LTJG Barnett Road. It's a weird address. Just plug in McFly's Pub to your Google. It'll take you right there. No big deal. Easy peasy. Cowtown Nutrition. Get them on Instagram at Cowtown_Nutrition. They're located at 5430 River Oaks Boulevard. Big deep breath, Andrew. They offer a healthy alternative to that compulsory fast food craving. You can also load up on your favorite Herbalife products and learn about their fitness groups that they hold on location at Cowtown Nutrition. Again, check them out on Instagram at Cowtown_Nutrition. Wavy Digital. Get Wavy Digital on Instagram. It's WAVVY Digital. These folks, or I should just say Giona, she specializes in social media. And if you are a creator or a small business owner, medium-sized business owner, you need somebody to take care of that for you. It is a very important part of your business plan, and you don't have time for it. So go give them a look. It's WAVVY Digital on Instagram. All right. Woodpost Metalworks. WoodpostMetalworks.com. Offer code podcast817 saves you 10% at checkout. They specialize in metal signs with or without LED backlighting, fence and gate repair or installation, light steel fabrication, industrial plasma cutting, and more. If you want a really awesome example of what they can do, look at the front of the Fort Worth Roots podcast studio. We've got a brand new plasma cut steel sign backlit. It's really rad. Come by the studio around 8:30 as the sun's starting to go down, so you can get that LED backlight, the full effect of the sun. It's really cool. Anyway, woodpostmetalworks.com, offer code podcast817 on checkout. Halquaker Originals, go to halquaker.com. They offer a huge variety of unique and personalized gifts. Also, laser engraving to customize just about anything you can think of. They do the tumblers that we have made up, the customized Fort Worth Roots coffee cups. They're pretty badass. Everybody loves them. Roofing Solutions by Darren Houck. Go to roofingsolutionshauk.com. 817-882-6520 is their phone number. Give them a call and save 50% on a roofing tune-up. What else do we got? Who are we missing? I think we got everybody. Thank you to our sponsors. You guys are helping us move the ball forward. We would not be able to do the live music festival if it was not for our sponsors. As you guys know, any of these events that we put on for the public genuinely are to help support our friends and family here, our neighbors that have small businesses here in Fort Worth. So, with that in mind, we don't charge a cover for these events. We just want you to come out. Now, we do expect you to have a burger, try out their food, maybe consider making a purchase while you're at these businesses, but it's not required. We just want you to come out. Also gives us an opportunity to give you some free marketing material or some swag that we might have from our sponsors. So it's always fun, and it's always in the spirit of supporting small business and making sure that our musicians have a stage to play on. So come check that out. Live music festival details in the show notes for this episode and every other episode we put out until the end of September. So guys, thank y'all so much for listening to the Fort Worth Roots podcast. We've had such an amazing journey and we've met so many incredible people. I get the question asked to me almost weekly, why do you keep doing it? It's because of the people that I get to meet along the route, you know, just out doing these things, talking to businesses, interviewing guests, hanging out with our local musicians. It's been an absolute blast, but I can't do it without you guys listening and checking out our social media accounts. So thank you guys every time you give us any kind of interaction at all. Those analytics do show up and it does help. So thank you for sharing posts. Thank you for letting your friends know about the Fort Worth Roots podcast. That's enough talking out of me, guys. Thank y'all so much one more time. And we'll see you next week. See ya.